morning, certainly in the building, had a few hiccups. But you know what is wonderful is that our God never has a hiccup. There's never anything that passes by him that he doesn't know about, that is not in control of. We might question, we might ask why, but with our God, there are no mistakes. He is able and he is love. There is that line in there that said, there is hope in your name. And for many of us, that might be something we really need to grasp this morning. Whatever our week has contained, whatever faces us, there is hope in Christ's name. Why? Because he defeated all the powers of sin and evil. And there's the passage in the very last chapter of the Bible which says this: then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in this city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We have a hope. We have a certainty of our God and what he promises us. And so we're going to sing our next song, which describes, or tries to, the splendor of who we worship this morning. Father God, we are so grateful that we worship the great, the awesome, the living God. We praise and worship you this morning. We thank you that you are the one who created everything. You are the one who is in supreme control. And God, this morning we want to praise you. We want to worship you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus that enables us to come before you. And Father, we thank you for your spirit that you've blessed us with, that we might know you more and walk ever closer with you. And Father, as we come to this time of worship together, Father, we long to know you more. We long to meet with you. We long to hear your voice speaking to us. And so, Father God, we just pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us this morning. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Lord, may you steal our hearts, our souls, our minds, long enough to be able to hear from you. And Father, we just pray that you would cleanse us of all the mistakes that we make, that you would wash us with the blood of Christ so that we can stand here refreshed and clean in your mercy, in your grace. That you can come and fill those dark places in our lives with your light. That, Father God, we might know once again the refreshing of your spirit working in us, preparing us for whatever lies ahead of us this coming week. Father, we pray that you would take our hands, that you would guide our feet, that you would have complete control over all who we are, all that we say, all that we think. And Lord, as we have this week of prayer, so we particularly pray that it would be a week that draws us ever daily closer to you and closer to one another, even with the virus keeping us apart. Lord, thank you and praise you for who you are, for your mighty name. We praise you and we want to raise our hallelujahs before you as we continue in our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that song. Let's raise our hallelujahs to our Almighty God.
Good morning, everybody. You should have all received your notice sheets either via post, email, through your door, all different manners. If you haven't got one, please do contact the church office and we can arrange that for you. We have got our standard activities happening this week, such as the Tuesday prayer meeting via Zoom. We've also got our Wednesday midweek service. If you'd like to come, please do make sure you book. If you would like to come and be here on the Sunday morning, again, you will definitely need to book, as it's actually quite nice to say that if anybody else turned up this morning, we'd have to open the gallery because we are now full to our capacity downstairs. So if you would like to come, please do make sure that you book a place. In a minute, we're going to see a promotional video for the new Wednesdays at RBC character course, which is starting this Wednesday. Before we do that, just to give you a bit of upfront information, Vicky's going to be coming along in a minute to tell us about the prayer week that's happening. So please do pay attention because she's going to be giving you lots of brilliant information on how you can participate. Like most church activities, they're still not happening at the moment, and one of those things is the meeting place. Unfortunately, that's still going to be closed for the foreseeable future, but we have got an opportunity to pray for it this week as part of our course. So please do pay attention as Vicky comes along in a bit. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the first episode of the Character Course. Over the last few years, I've been studying positive qualities of character, like hope, gratitude, love, wisdom. And over the next 8 weeks, I'd like to share with you some practical insights from the Bible and from psychology about how we might develop these things. Starting next week, we'll look at hope, love, forgiveness, gratitude, persistence, curiosity, and humour.
So please do join if you're able to. Even if you can't make it every week, come along and join in when you can. We're going to say a big thank you to Sarah, Glynis and other people who have helped with our bunting. I think some photos are going to come up for you. They've put up some great bunting that the church put together to, as a sign of coming back together. We've put it up because we are today full to capacity downstairs in a very different way to our normal full to capacity looks like. But we are coming back together, and our bunting was one of the activities we did during lockdown as a sign that we are still a family of Christ here at RBC together. We love one another, and it is so nice to have the bunting up in the front of the church here. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Glynis. Thank you for the rest of the team who put it together. And thank you to every single person who put theirs and sent it off. So it's really appreciated because it does look lovely, and it is a reminder that we will one day again be all worshipping, and we pray together, definitely in heaven, but hopefully in this building too. We're going to say thank you to God now for the gifts that he's given us that we've passed on to the church for the work of God's kingdom here and further abroad. Let's pray and thank God for the offering. Father God, we thank you for your provision to us over this past week. Father, we thank you for providing us with places to sleep, with food to eat, with friends and family surrounding us. And Father, we thank you for these gifts that have transferred over, either via the bank or through envelopes or through the cash giving. And Father, we just pray that every single penny that is given, particularly at this time of such great need in our country and across the world, we pray that each penny would be used well and wisely, that Father, we would be able to share your love and your light with those around us. Lord, we pray this money would be used for your kingdom, that it may come. And Lord, we pray for those who make the decisions of how it's used. We pray your blessing on them, and we thank you for each one. Lord, we pray too that you would take our lives afresh this morning as an offering. God, we lay ourselves and all that we are and all that you've blessed us with before you as an offering for you to use as you will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing again together. My Jesus, my Saviour.
And it's lovely to see you all again after having had a couple couple of weeks away, and it's lovely to see so many back in the building this morning. Welcome to everyone who's watching online. It's great to be back with you. As Hayley has said, I'm here to talk about the week of prayer and fasting that started at 6 o'clock last night. And thank you to everyone who was involved last night, whether they joined the service at 6 o'clock, whether they were involved in the overnight praying last night or on Zoom this morning for the 8 o'clock prayer meeting. It's been great to have many of you there, but I know there's an awful lot more who haven't yet engaged, so to speak, with all the things that are happening. So let me tell you what there is. If you received anything electronically, or if you've not had it but you want to collect something this morning, there's a selection of different information. This is our program of events. This afternoon we have a prayer walk starting from the church car park. So if you want to come and pray, come anytime between 2 and 3 o'clock. There's going to be a walk that you can do from here up through Raffles Park, back through Lodge Farm Park and back to the church car park. You can do that as you come as a family. Maybe you want to come and walk with someone. Maybe you want to just come, collect the walk and pray with the various themes that there are along the way. And that anytime, if you turn up anytime between 2 and 3 o'clock, you will be able to pick up that prayer walk and continue to do it. If you don't feel able to do that and you want to do it virtually, send me an email and I'll send you the walk so that you can do it remotely or virtually from your own home. I recognise not everyone is able to do that kind of walk. And then, of course, we have our service this evening, which will include a period where we can repent and respond to God as part of our week of prayer and fasting. And then each day this week, you will receive electronically and going on RBC Plus themes for the day that we can focus our thoughts and our prayers on something about connected to our church, our world, and for one another. And so if you receive electronically the prayer, the notice sheets and any of the other information, you will receive that day by day or on RBC Plus, as I say. And also, there was a really good, helpful leaflet that was attached to your notice sheet this week. Again, I think we've got a few around that just gives you some different ideas. If you kind of feel that your prayer life's got a bit stuck, there's some really good resources that we've included that we picked up from the prayer course that we did a little while ago on Wednesday evenings. So Monday to Friday, you'll receive your prayer themes. Include that time when you can to pray for each one of those things. And then next Sunday morning, we are coming to hear what God is saying to us. Each day, there's going to be the opportunity to respond and to send in messages in a variety of forms to maybe share what God's been saying to you for yourselves or to give thanks for or for the life of the church. And we're going to collect those together for next Sunday morning and share that next Sunday morning before the afternoon, straight after the service in the morning and then into the first part of the afternoon between 12 and 3. There's an opportunity on the car park with 3 prayer stations, an opportunity to respond either as a dedication or an act of consecration or an act of repentance. And if there is wet weather, we have an indoor plan where there'll be a one-way system that we can do that. So lots of different ways before we gather on Sunday evening as our concluding part of our week of prayer. So lots of different things. I hope you've got that. If you haven't picked it up, if you've not received it electronically, do just make sure you speak to someone before you go. We can get copies given to you. We have got a few paper copies around. So thank you for that. And what better way to continue thinking about prayer than to do that as we pray now for the situations in our world and for ourselves. And as we do that, we recognise at the start that during this week, Sue and Brian Sharp will be celebrating their 55th wedding anniversary. And so we, as part of our prayers, will be praying for them. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, as we can hear and see the beauty of your creation around us, we recognize that you are a God who knows your world and your creation from the tiniest detail to the immensity of all that goes on. And Lord, as we think about our world, we recognize to for all those on our notice sheet who need a touch from you. We thank you for Sue and Brian being able to share and celebrate this week their 55th wedding anniversary. Lord, that's a great way that we know that you've had your hand on that couple, but Lord, we know that you have your hand on each and every one of us. We particularly ask for those who need a touch from you, that you will draw close. We pray that you will comfort those who need your comfort following bereavements, and we particularly uphold Julie, Kelly and the family. But Lord, also all those who have suffered loss at this time. We thank you that Lord Llewellyn Bree's brother, who was admitted to ICU earlier in the week, has now been discharged. We give thanks for that. But Lord, we recognise that there are many who we know that we haven't named here on the notice sheet who need a touch from you. And we know that the impact from coronavirus is impacting on many of us physically and mentally and emotionally. Lord, draw close and strengthen us, we pray. And Lord, as we know that there's uncertainty as to what will happen with the decisions that are made for each one of us, made by the government because of the pandemic, Lord, we pray that we can continue to trust in you for the days ahead. Lord, bless our missionary partners across our world, across this country, and for our home up at Parkside. Lord, be with them too, we pray. And we thank you that we can come and pray all these things, knowing that you cared for us and that you taught us, as you taught your disciples, that wonderful prayer that we can pray in our hearts now. And maybe if you're at home, you can pray it out loud, but here in the building, we pray in our heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And it says this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have so much to be thankful for. Occasionally, in fact, quite regularly, we need to come and surrender ourselves to him, and we're going to do that as we have our next song, Here I Am, I Surrender.
Surrendering. to God. Surrendering. If you open your Bibles at the readings which Vicky read a while ago from Colossians chapter 1, starting to read from verse 3, she did. And we're going to come back to that text in a minute. Surrendering to God. Often we view surrender as a negative thing, don't we? Surrendering is often thought as something that is giving up. And in one way, surrendering to God is exactly that, giving up. But what we're giving up is not something good, but it's something that has held us back. It's our own self who has been trying to find a way to battle through life. And we need to learn to surrender to God, to let God be our power. And if you've got a Bible open, you might want to just look at verse 10. This is going to be a key text for this morning. Verse 10, which says this: walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. There is such a phrase, isn't there? Oh, I could preach a whole series of sermons on that phrase. Walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. You can tell I've not preached for a few weeks, even though I have been preaching but not been here. I haven't got my voice back up to strength, so I apologize for that. And so the question I want to ask you this morning, based upon that verse, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, is how are you living? How are you living? Well, that question itself has got many different ways of being interpreted. How are you living? You might say, well, I've got oxygen going in, and I've got energy going around, my heart's beating, that's how I am living. And all the medical people will have put all the detail into that, which I don't know. That is how we live in one way. How are we living is, well, because we have a world which functions and works, therefore we can live in that. The question I'm asking is, how are you living in light of the scripture that tells us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Now, I'm going to get you to do something that I don't normally ask for during a church service. And coming up on the screen now are the contact information, how to contact and send a message via WhatsApp message or email to me. And Vicky's going to collect your responses in. And as this sermon goes on, I want you to be responding to us. What is it that you find is good about living as a Christian? Or what do you find a challenge? And there are no right or wrong answers here. You can just, and we'll keep the contact details up on the screen as the sermon goes on, and you can keep coming, and Vicky's going to be there collecting the information as you send your things in. You might want to say something that I say later in the sermon. It's a great, yeah, I want to say amen to that. Or you might want to say, I'm struggling with that, and not sign your name. That's okay. So how are you living? Very often when we come to a passage like this, we go through all the things of thou shalt not do. And interestingly, in this passage from Colossians, there is not the normal list of all the sins. We can probably recite all the sins that we shouldn't do, can't we? And those things that sometimes we find that actually we still do, even though we shouldn't do. I was driving the other day, and as I went down this very fast road, I saw creeping out from a horse just behind a tree the speed camera. And I saw this speed camera, and you know, I immediately felt guilty. What is it about speed cameras that you immediately feel guilty? I looked down, I was well under the speed limit, unusually. But I still felt guilty because that very image of a van with a camera pointing at me made me feel guilty, made me feel like I've done something wrong. And as people, as soon as we are faced with God, we come so much to feeling guilt, don't we? Guilt about our past, guilt about the way we live, guilt about all sorts of things. And we live with shame and disappointment about our past. And we are concerned about how we see ourselves and our failures and our past wrong. Yet the gospel has a message for each one of us. Those of us who have come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel has a message. And that message is that we have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. That's not a conditional forgiveness of if God's in a good mood, or if you have the right face, or you come from the right background. The Bible talks about anyone who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiven. Are we living as forgiven people? Are we living as forgiven people? So when I ask the question, how are you living? Are you living, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Are you living as a forgiven person? Because that's what it means to walk worthy of what God has done for us. Worthy of what God has done, the victory God has had. The past is the past. Our history is now history. But break down the word history into two. You have his story, Christ's story, that is being lived through us as forgiven, redeemed, whole people who have no need for shame and embarrassment. The life of the disciple is one who is free. How are you living? Are you living a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him? The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who trust in Christ. No condemnation. And I want to ask you this morning, have you let go of your shame, of your past embarrassment? Have you let go of your condemnation to live worthy of the Lord? And the verse goes on, fully pleasing to him. You see, Christ came. Christ came into the world. He had a mission. He came to seek and save the lost. That's you and me. He came to seek and save us and give us a new beginning. Are you living a life that is worthy of that? God has taken away your past. He's taken away your shame. And he has given you a new beginning. Let go of your past. But let me say, nothing in your past is wasted. God uses those experiences as part of our growing, but none of that past has a hold on you. You are forgiven. You are restored. You have infinite worth because of what God has done for you. Is that good news or what? Is that good news that you have worth because of what God has done for you? People around us would want to say you're rubbish, you're not have it, you haven't reached this target, or you haven't achieved this, therefore you have no worth. To God, you have infinite worth. Christ came to give you worth. Are you walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him? As this passage goes on, in verses 11 and 12, it goes on, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You, when you came into that relationship with God, when you accepted Christ into your life, you had the qualification for joining in the great inheritance of God's holy people in the kingdom of light. No one is outside of that. And before God, we are all equal in that. You see, God is in the restoration business. God is in the restoration business. During lockdown, among the many things I heard people worrying about is the fact they couldn't get their hair cut. Those of you who follow me on Facebook will see that this week I received on Facebook an advert that hairdressers were looking for people like me with my qualifications. I think something went wrong with the algorithm that decided that I was a qualified hairdresser, but apparently I could get a job as a hairdresser. And you'll end up with hair like mine if you come to this hairdresser. I'm not qualified, but I heard of so many people worried that their grey hair was showing, that they needed their roots dealing with. I'm just repeating what I've heard. I have not any understanding of what these things mean. And highlights needed to be sorted. And, you know, I've heard all the problems. And the great celebration when hairdressers opened. But then there was also the hairdresser's job. It's going to take me 6 months to repair the damage you have done in your own work of trying to do your own hair. Or you let who do it? And hairdressers have been kept busy ever since, restoring, repairing the damage to bring back the former glory of the hairstyles that are so sadly missed. Maybe you've seen those programs of cars that are restored as they just take them apart and they put them together and they say, look, we have restored this great Austin A40. As I watch it, they've just replaced every part with a new part. I'm not sure how that's restoration or just rebuilt from nothing. Or those antiques which they take to the repair factory and they go through and they carefully restore antiques to their former glory. This is what God has done for each one of us. He has taken our brokenness. He has forgiven. as it says here in the book of Corinthians, we can give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in his inheritance. How are you living? Are you living as somebody condemned, of no worth? Or are you living as a child of God, restored, forgiven? In the words of this old song, "Oh, let the Son of God enfold you," it says these words: "Give him all your tears of sadness. Give him all your years of pain." And maybe today, as we seek to live a life that is worthy of our calling, we truly give to God our pain, our sadness, our shame, and we say to the God, "Lord, you've died for this. I need to let it go. I need to let it go." And as we let it go, we find that God gives us life. We are no longer broken. We are restored. We are repaired. We can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Responses down there, and maybe you want to respond to this as we go through. Remember, the contact details are on the screen. How are you living? Verses 13 and 14. Listen to these verses very carefully. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Isn't that great news? "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. Therefore, we're free of it. We're free of it. And we live free of that darkness. Living as people who are children of God, bearing fruit for God, increasing in our knowledge of him, being strengthened by him, giving thanks because we have been delivered and we have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. So how are you living? How are you living? Vicky, you need a microphone, which is up here.
Yes. Okay, we've had a number of responses in. In fact, actually, needing reassurance from God that all will be well, and then a short while later, yes, Christ gave us life. Hallelujah. Amen. Another response: "Because Jesus is in my life, I have hope." Another response: "Living with the love of God, I'm struggling with the injustices in the world." Oh, so many of us can identify with that too. Another response: "Living with a clean conscience thanks to the mercy and forgiveness of Christ," and "no speeding tickets" was another response. Again, "Praise God, I have been forgiven for my sins. Thank God he has taken away my past failures, past mistakes, past disappointments. Hallelujah." And then another one: "You say what to do, but no one ever says how to do it. How do you let go of shame, pain, unforgiveness, hatred, fear?" I love last week when you said, Ian, about putting
very much, Vicky. And this may be a new way of doing responsive things from the church, just getting feedback. Friends, how are you living? One person asked, how do we let go? Well, for different people, that's different ways. And maybe during this week of prayer and fasting, your prayer will be, Lord, I need to let go. And letting go may be just writing on a piece of paper the things that you want to go. And in a prayerful moment, just being with God, and maybe a shredder or a match or something, and destroying that piece of paper and knowing that God is taking it from you at that point. It may be that you need to pray with someone. I encourage you, if you need somebody to pray with you, to reach out. Again, you can do that through that number that's up on the screen or another Christian you know, and over the phone, prayers can happen where somebody will pray with you and just minister to you. It's a strange world. We normally do this in person, but you know, God's not limited to our limitations. God can do it. Right at the beginning of this great book, Letter to the Corinthian Church, is celebrating the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is one of bringing freedom. It's celebrating God's hand. That for all of creation, for all of us, came to bring new life. And so, I challenge you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk with your head held high. Let go of shame and embarrassment, because that does not belong to the people of faith. But hold yourself with respect and love yourself with a sense of total value, because Christ died for you. And all God's people said, Amen. But it's all very well saying Amen. The challenge now is to live it. Let us pray. And so, Lord, we come and we again surrender. That song we had before the sermon, I surrender, Lord, we do. Have your way by your Holy Spirit. Lord, to anybody right now listening to this in their home or in person at the church, may your hand just reach down into their pain. May surround. Holy Spirit, minister to each one of us, we pray. Amen. One of the prayer stations next Sunday afternoon you can come to be at will be about breaking chains of the past, and so you might want to actually focus on that one next Sunday afternoon. it will all be done in a COVID safe way, as everything we are doing is, so you are able to come and be a part of that. Our next song, The Greatest Day in History. Oh, happy day. Isn't that great? We never will be the same because what Christ has done for us. Rodney sent a message in. He says, I learned that I only need to have faith as small as a mustard seed in God. God uses this to fulfill his purposes. God will meet us. And so, may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. May he journey with us, and may we know his hand upon our lives, and may we live a life worthy of the gospel we believe in. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. As we conclude the worship, we're going to see again that blessing.